listening to Fox Sports Radio.
We start with the NBA playoffs. We have a Game 7 set between the 76ers and the Raptors after Philly took care of Toronto 112-101 last night.
Let's start local. Let's start micro, as in what we saw last night. I think there's a big series-wide narrative for us to consider. But first, Steve Fezzik, NBA originator, what did you see?
Well, we got to talk about Embiid. So Embiid had a solid game. He played 36 minutes, scored 17 points, 12 rebounds, good on defense, couple of blocks, looked solid. And then he looked at
the... First off, is that solid?
That's or below
Is that a game... Well, see, I was going to say the opposite. Maybe the points are below average. How many NBA players on their best night could have done what he did last night? When it comes to big men, let's say, because the theory is Embiid is so special because there's such a scarcity of big men today, right? A lot of good point guards out there. After Embiid, you know, who else is in the conversation as a guy? Remember, and here's the key, that can play a modern style of basketball. We'll be talking about the Joker.
Right.
But he's playing an old school game. Now, when everyone else is playing modern, sometimes it can be an advantage to be old school because they're not used to seeing it. But boy, I'd be surprised if Denver wins the title this year. I'd be surprised if any of these retro teams, old school styles, win in the near future. So you either play with no big man, like the Warriors do when they have their Hamptons Five. You play with a very low cost, very limited big man that only eats up minutes in November, December. Or you have one of a small handful of big men that can play the modern game. Embiid at his best is in that small group, wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. And Embiid averaged 27 points during the regular season, so he's a huge scorer in the regular season.
So Brad's right, simple math, he didn't score as many points. I would make the case it was a very strong game, especially based on expectations, where the prior game, the game before that, flu-like symptoms, Embiid's knee, big question marks. He certainly exceeded expectations. I would make the case there's not many guys in the entire planet that could have played the game he played last night.
Exactly, and he made everyone...
Well, hold on. If you say exactly, that seems different than you coming in saying, kind of a solid game, workmanlike.
Well, I think I was understating how well he was because he made everybody else better. And the stat that shows this, RJ, his plus minus was plus 40. When Embiid was on the court...
I'm sorry, his plus minus was plus...
40. When Embiid was on the court, the 76ers outscored Toronto by 40 points. Now, think about this. Philadelphia only won the game by 11 points. So quick math, when he was not on the court, the 76ers got outscored by 29 points.
Hold on. You're right.
And if you look at every other Philadelphia starter, none of them had a plus minus, a better than plus 15. Embiid.
Yeah, so strong, that's a big number. Now, the real wonks, the stats guys will say, giving games plus minus has a lot of vagaries to it, variance to it. All that said, strong game. Now, Brad, it seemed like you thought I was coming in on the other side, talking to Brad Powers, that maybe Embiid did fall a little short. Is that what your instinct was?
No, I just wanted to say 17-12, to put in perspective, is well below his season averages, both obviously on points and then a couple rebounds short of what he normally averages.
But in a weird way, that's the point. That what has been the complaint about Philadelphia, that they're an accumulation of assets, of talent, they're not a team, right? 2 + 2 doesn't equal 5 with them. Am I right to say that they played more as a team last night?
Absolutely.
And if you have that much talent and you play more as a team, I mean, are they clearly, let's just say this, other than Golden State, and let's put a big question mark by Durant right now, assuming Durant's healthy if they reached in the finals. Is there any other team in 2019? I'm not talking about CP3 back in the day, that has more raw talent than Philadelphia.
Oh, Philadelphia's starting five lays over everybody right now with Durant not playing for Golden State.
So if somehow, and I don't expect it to happen, but if somehow Philadelphia came together as a team, as they said famously in Major League, boy, it would get mighty interesting.
Absolutely. And I got to mention Ben Simmons, who's kind of been content to just not take many shots and not have a big role. He was like blue collar last night, RJ. I think Ben Simmons oftentimes looks soft, and he was attacking the offensive rebounding, getting rebounds, scoring off of putbacks, and I had not seen that all series. Ben Simmons was engaged.
Now the question is, if the problem with Ben Simmons in these prior games was lack of engagement, then you've got a big problem. If you're in, meaning career-long problem, if you're in the second round of the playoffs, the furthest you've ever been, and you don't care, right, what is lack of engagement? Not caring enough. I'm not saying that's the case, but it's funny that I listened closely to your language. It was like he cared. Well, what does that mean in contrast to the other games? He didn't care? If that's true, there's a big problem. Maybe it's something else. I don't know, right? The problem I got with Ben Simmons, and Colin was, you know, pounding his fist about it today. You know, he's a Simmons guy over Embiid. Like, literally, you're going to ruin your franchise if you don't listen to me. The thing that concerns me, and he was saying, what was Magic Johnson at this age? What was Kobe at this age? But the question is, age and the passage of years to get older only helps you if you improve. And the thing that really bothers me about Simmons, unless I'm missing something, he is shooting no better today than he did a year ago. So if he's not, if he didn't get any better in the last year, why is he going to get any better in the next year or the year after that? So doesn't mean he can't mature and decide to really commit himself to shooting in the offseason. I haven't seen that trend line on Ben Simmons' shot. Has anyone?
No.
Yeah, so
I think he's 60% a free throw shooter. So think about that. If you can only make 6 out of 10 from 15 feet when not being guarded, how are you going to develop an 18-foot jump shot that's going to make it 50%?
I mean, Brad Powers, when he was in fifth grade, when he won the Cuyahoga County free throw shooting championship, what was your ultimate percentage there?
For a season, like 88%, 89%.
BS. Yeah, you were fifth grade shooting 89%.
That's all. I didn't have a lot.
What'd you make? 9 out of 10?
Yeah. Well, no. At one point in a contest, I made.
Why are you talking so soft? Because you think your lies are going to be heard?
No.
How much? You're saying
it was like 88%, 89%.
The best free throw shooters in the history of the NBA are like 90%.
Anybody that could really practice is sit
so you're there. Saying every player in the NBA,
if they really truly wanted it to be a craft,
wanted it as much as a fifth grade, yeah. Brad Powers wanted it.
Yep.
You know, we could spend a whole show on this.
You can.
I know I could. I'm saying we're going to choose for the listener's sake not to.
You're looking at the people in front of you and how unathletic Brad and I both look, and you're thinking there's no way Fezzik could dunk a volleyball when he was young, and there's no way Brad was that good of a shooter. Let's be honest.
Well, not, you don't have to tell me to be honest. I'm honest very clearly. You never dunked a volleyball. If he shot 1,000 free throws as a fifth grader, he was never going to make 900 of them or 890. Now, let me ask you this, Jonas. By the way, I'm RJ Bowe. We are straight out of Vegas. Two questions, two-parter. What's been your take on Philly, let's say, entering the playoffs? And did you see something last night that felt different?
No, it's the same team that one day they look pretty good because they play all together and everybody looks really, really confident and comfortable and together. And then the next time Ben Simmons doesn't show up and or Embiid doesn't show up and Jimmy Butler's the only guy that's been consistent. And going into the playoffs, that was always my fear. Are these guys going to be on the same page? Because you do have examples of Ben Simmons playing better without Joel Embiid, and Joel Embiid sometimes not feeling good and sometimes he does. It's just they're a moody team.
The question is, and this is what we in Vegas make a living at, is can we divine the future? What is it about this team that predicts if they're going to play together or not. You would think, mostly if motivation is the issue, how big is the game? That's the question. A team that can have faulty motivation, usually on a back-to-back night, games on a national TV, long road trip, they have the stinkers. But when do you have a stinker when you're tied? I mean, prior to last night, when they got blown out in Toronto in game five, it was the second round of the playoffs, 2-2. Doesn't that feel like the ultimate night you wouldn't have a stinker? For effort, I mean. So I'm not so sure with Philly if it's just effort. With Embiid, I think it is health. Whatever it is that's going on with him, when he's healthy and motivated, he's a near one-of-a-kind player. When he's not, he might not even be a value add on the court. It might be better not to even have him on the court sometimes. But other than that, with Simmons, I can't find any rhyme or reason to win. Because you would think shooting is the element that has a lot of luck to it. That I can see going up and down game to game, if you're not a good shooter especially. But things like assists and rebound, you know, what's the old thing? Defense travels. You know, it feels like what Ben Simmons is best at should be consistent. Because shooting isn't consistent.
Agreed. Rebounds and assists. He's so good there. You know, I'll say this.
But no. He's so good sometimes.
Mm.
Right? Isn't that the point? I mean, we're never complaining about Ben Simmons that he's not a great shooter. That's the given. The question is the other parts of his game. And Brad, I would make the case, or Jonas, jump in, that half the games or a little less maybe in this playoffs, you left the Philadelphia game saying, what's wrong with Ben Simmons?
Yeah, and there's been a conversation about him that he spent most of his offseason with the Kardashians out here in LA. Yeah, and look, you hear Kardashian next to an NBA player and you just assume, all right, when's that guy's career going down in flames? But that was sort of the talk in the offseason. And then this season there was a report that came out that he missed a game or was scratched from the lineup, and they said that he wasn't feeling well, and as it turns out, he was partying all night the night before in Orlando. So there's been discussions about whether or not Simmons is all in on this whole concept or whether or not he's just a really gifted player who doesn't care sometimes as much as he should.
So Jonas being on the party circuit himself in LA, when he comes in dragging disadvantage, but here inside information behind the velvet rope from Jonas Knox.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
RJ, the story in the NBA outside of the playoffs is in LA with the Los Angeles Lakers, who continue to be a circus. The coaching search, the latest is they're talking to JB Bickerstaff about the opportunity. Frank Vogel's a guy who's been interviewed. And now the latest is they had a protest, which looked like 14 or 15 teenagers outside Staples Center in LA complaining about the direction of the organization. In Vegas, what is the thought on the Lakers?
Did you see the movie Footloose?
Yes.
Was it kind of like protesting the lack of dancing, that kind of crowd?
There was more people at that dance than there was at Staples Center.
All right. So in our production meetings, I have a mantra. I say we got to be better or we got to be different. Because let's be honest, and let's give some credit, Fox Sports Radio has a passion for radio, and the bosses and Scott Shapiro, my main contact. Is he your stepdad, Jonas?
Scott Shapiro?
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, he's probably just my father.
Kind of like that.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, that's,
yeah. And
it's fair.
But Scott loves radio. He used to be the Mike and Mike producer way back when. And most radio guys don't like radio. That's the dirty secret. They all wish they were on TV. And I love that we love radio. And part of that shows with the quality on FSR. Colin, he's my favorite. Dan Patrick. You go up and down the list, there's some real talent. You look at the late night shift. I mean, a guy like a Chris Broussard, a Parker. They might be your style, they might not. But the broadcasting talent is unquestionable. And if we're not going, if I'm going to do some hot take, I'm never beating Rob Parker, right? And if I'm going to do some sociological analogy, I'm probably not beating Colin. There's so many strong suits here. We've got our lane. We have the Vegas perspective. And proudly, we think we do it different and better than anyone. One of the things I don't like about radio, one of the things I want to do differently on this show, everyone comes in with their answer. Where in normal life, Fez, you were an actuary for a long time, a vice president. And when big decisions are made, they're usually not, the answer's not obvious. It takes weeks to figure it out. Let's do a study. Let's do analysis. But instead, every radio guy's got their strong take, whatever side of the equation it's on. I'm going to admit, I'm not sure about the Lakers. I'm not exactly sure what to think. What I'd like to do in the next couple of days, next week, let's start identifying what we do know. Because let's be honest, the NBA, LeBron, and the Lakers, that's a big, the fact we're talking about the Lakers when it's playoffs and they're not even in is a sign of how big they are. If we can figure them out, we're ahead of the game. So the first thing I want to talk about, and the only thing today, and we've got some sound on this, that Colin was talking about, he knows people that knows people. And it's a situation where, and it's probably easier for me just to kind of recap what Colin said. He said he's talked to people that said if Colin or if LeBron were younger, if this were 5 years ago, LeBron is so frustrated with the Lakers situation, he'd probably demand a trade. Did you hear that, Brad, when
yep,
he was talking
about? Yep, I did hear that.
But since he is older, his kids are in school, they just settled in L.A., he's got his business interests, he's got his production career on media side, that it doesn't quite rise to disrupt all of that. And I started thinking about that. Maybe that's the biggest problem the Lakers have. If the guy, I mean, imagine, I've had this experience. There was a fellow, nice fellow, that had a lot of success in the early 2000s. It was kind of technologically adjacent. It wasn't pure tech development, but it was tech-based, maybe. And he had millions of dollars. Drove like an $80,000 car, lived in a, you know, probably $1 million house. And he didn't have a yacht, Fez, but, and he came to work for us and he worked for us, pregame.com, for a few years. But he never really was willing to walk over the cut glass. Because let's be honest, once you've gotten to the mountaintop, you can say, hey, I wouldn't mind getting to that mountaintop a second time, but you already got a lodge up there or you've already got your name up on the wall. How much are you willing to do? And that's why we see all the time where, you know, if it's coaches, whatever in sports, some people are ready to have a heart attack over it. Some people aren't. And usually the people that aren't are the ones that got there once, right? When Bill Parcells was with the Dolphins, and I don't know Bill Parcells. Was he ready to put in the all-nighters like he was when he was at the Giants in the 80s? I'm guessing not, right? And usually, if you look at someone's success and say early career, middle career, late career, and I'm not talking about the kind of careers like sports where you inevitably are dropping off. I'm talking about business, writing books, media, where it's not physical limitations of age, but it's about the will. And I can tell you this, the passion I had getting ready for this show, first time, daytime national radio, drive time, I mean, 6 o'clock Eastern on the East Coast. If 15 years from now, I hope I'm not quite doing the same shift and the same radio. If I were doing the same thing, it wouldn't make sense I would have as much passion, right? And I have a friend who has 11 siblings. Now, Fez, you had a kid, one, Johnny. Every little move he made, his first potty training was a big deal, right?
Oh, absolutely. All the way up to when he's 8. I race him every day. He still hasn't beaten me.
And the idea that if you had a 10th, 11th, 12th kid, that 12th kid, you'd be celebrating every duty.
Load management.
That's funny. That was so funny. I had to think, did he really mean to be funny? And I couldn't react to it. That was funny. And load, you get it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Kudos. In fact, I'm going to give Fez a pass on turning off his mic. The next time I am going to turn off his mic because he's doing something off, I'm going to tell him, give me that pass card back. He won't have his mic turned off. It was that good. To quickly wrap, LeBron, if Colin's right in his reporting, is telling us that this doesn't matter all that much to me. Doesn't mean he's not going to try when he's on the court. Doesn't mean he's not going to work harder at playing basketball than maybe most of us do at anything. Let's give these athletes credit. It's not easy sometimes. But is he working as hard as the 25-year-old LeBron? And by definition, if Colin's right, he's not, because he's saying other things matter more. So we'll break down the Lakers from A to Z in the next couple weeks. But if Colin's right on that one, boy, that seems like a big red negative mark for optimism for the Lakers next year.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
We had the numbers yesterday, and they're eye-popping. Golden State's had 3 years with Durant playing on the team. Team's done. Well, can't do better, really. Title, final 8. For the title. Okay, we see what happens from here. When Durant's played, Golden State has won 74.9% of the games. When Durant hasn't played, they've won 75% of the games. Now, we could make a big deal about it being more. Let's call it equal. How could that be? Now, you might say, small sample size, RJ. We've heard you say it. Small sample size. Okay. 40 games Durant's missed. That's almost half of a full NBA season. Now, is that enough for us to be 100% sure that Golden State doesn't need Durant? No. But boy, that's a lot of games. And maybe they do need him a little bit. Now, how couldn't they need, perhaps, I would say, the consensus best player in the NBA? Meaning, if you poll true NBA guys that know their stuff, I think more people is going to say Durant's the best player than any other player right now. Not that it would be a blowout, but he probably wins that vote. Here's why I believe. I believe that without Durant, Golden State has much of what Durant offers. Let's do an analogy. If Aaron Rodgers were traded to the Miami Dolphins, Fez, how much would the Dolphins be upgraded?
6 points.
Hugely. Six?
Six.
Ugh. Fitzpatrick? I think it's 7, 8. Well, let's question Aaron Rodgers' health. Okay, fair enough. A lot. Now, if Aaron Rodgers were traded to the New England Patriots, the upgrade would be minuscule. Because the theory is he would be a backup. The Patriots already have what he offers. Now, depth is good. Obviously, if Tom Brady went down, it'd be humongous. But odds are it wouldn't mean all that much. Plus, the Patriots would have to put up with Aaron Rodgers. That could be a negative. Well, what do the Golden State Warriors get from Durant? An alpha dog, A-level, lead the team scorer. Now, what Curry has become is a compliment to that. But the reality is Curry was that A-level alpha dog top scorer on the most successful team in the history of the NBA in the regular season with 73 wins. He can do it. Can he do it for whole seasons now at a couple years older? I don't know. He doesn't have to. All right? And the numbers back it up. We can talk about the thinness of Golden State's bench. I think over an extended period of time, that would be a concern. Golden State needs to win one game. And I think it's tonight. Game of the year plus 7, half the bet. Now here's the kicker. Half the bet goes on the money line. You can get plus 280. Golden State wins the game outright. 100 wins you 280. Here's the rationale. If you're Harden, if you're CP3, the game's tied with 4 minutes left. You are like, oh my gosh, my career's going to be defined by this loss. And Golden State's going to feel like we're in winning time, baby. So to me, late in this game, if it is close, huge advantage Golden State because of that, half the bet on the money line.
Like it. And Chris Paul is 34 years old and certainly appears to be wearing down from the excess minutes Chris Paul has been playing in the playoffs.
Okay, so quickly, two more games. Toronto, Philly. Toronto favored by 6. Fez, you were right about Philly. I should say quickly, I think this might have been a growing up moment for Philly. I lean that way. What do you do?
I'm going to lean to Toronto just because Game 7 in the NBA the last 15 years, RJ, if you blindly bet on the home team, you're cashing 6 out of 10 tickets. It's been a 60% play on the home team, Game 7 NBA playoffs.
So you lean one way, I lean the other. Finally, Denver, Game 7 at home, favored by 5.5. Against Portland, you got 40 seconds.
I like Denver. I bet Denver minus 5.5. Portland struggles on the road. Portland only wins half their games on the road. And Denver has the best home court advantage in the NBA. Denver was 25-16 against the spread during the regular season. I want Denver in this, another Game 7 where I prefer the home team.
Okay, so really for you, they've played enough games, Denver and Portland, that you think it's all kind of in the wash. The line's 5.5, except that home court means more and for Denver than pretty much any other team in the league. And historically, home courts in Game 7 has been the most valuable time.
Correct.
All right, Jonas, what pick do you like best of those?
I like the Warriors and the Rockets.
The R.J. Bell game of the year.
I like all of them, actually, now that I think about it.
All right, then we'll see you on Monday.
All right, good stuff. Guys, if you missed any of today's show, including a preview of all three of those games, hit the podcast at foxsportsradio.com. You've got a little bit of time before this game starts at 9 Eastern time. We're back on Monday right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.